farm at Truett Homestead. And as already stated, we will combine our presentations to serve as the record for both of those applications. Also, as suggested and urged by the Planning Commission, I will attempt to use your expensive visual aids this evening.
Thank you.
So I will, I will ask your patience, I guess, in me trying to do that.
They are the expensive visual aids of the people of Sussex County. So far, so good.
I had some help from Janelle, I must admit. As I stated, the applications request a change of zone to MR and a conditional use for 90 single-family condominium units on a 23.5-acre parcel of land that's located on the west side of Shuttle Road. More specifically, the site is directly across from the Rehoboth Beach Park and Ride, which is located... right there. Shuttle Road runs from Route 1, right, starting right here, down to Country Club Road. Along Shuttle Road is the Exxon gas station right there. The entrance to one of the Rehoboth Outlet developments. On the other side of Shuttle Road, this is the County Bank office building. And behind that is the Holiday Inn Express. Again, back on the other side of Shuttle Road, this is the entrance into Kings Creek development. Right here is a small residential development, the Villages at Kings Creek. As I said, Shuttle Road comes over and intersects with Country Club Road. Country Club Road, again, Country Club Road runs back out to Route 1, also borders the park and ride. The Keys at Marsh Harbor is a residential development of single-family condos and duplexes located there. Jungle Gyms Water Park is located right here. Applied Bank is up in this area. And this site is the new Rehoboth Gateway commercial development that's currently under construction that I think you're all aware of. Our site itself is adjacent to, as I already noted, the Village of Kings Creek right here. Stable Farm development is right here. Kinsale development is right there. And the rear of the property here, there are some non-tidal wetlands located along the rear of the property. On the other side of those wetlands is a Kings Creek development. As far as the site itself, the property has been in the Truett family for 107 years. Mr. Truett's grandfather actually purchased the property back in 1908. Mr. Truett's grandfather farmed the property, also raised cows, hogs, and chickens on it. And Mr. Truett's father was actually born on the farm. Mr. Truett and his brother inherited the property when their father died back in 1981, and that inheritance was made subject to a restriction that the land was not to be sold during their lives and was to be passed on to their sons. So the land continued to be farmed until the early 1990s. It was leased to a tenant who farmed it. After that, it ceased agricultural use. It was then leased with some additional lands to a group who operated a golf driving range and an executive golf course on the property. 52 acres of that site on which the driving range was located were sold to that tenant back in the early 2000s, and that actually was developed as the MR Zone Kinsale Glen development. The remaining 23.5 acres, which is the land before you tonight, was converted into a par 3 golf course and is currently operated as a par 3 golf course. Now, during that period of time, over the last 20 years, other land surrounding this site has been rezoned MR and developed in various residential uses. As I said, the stable farm adjacent, the village at Kings Creek, which is a single-family condo development, the Kinsale development, the Keys at Marsh Harbor, which again is a single-family duplex condominium development. So the nature of the area has changed significantly. The Truitts and the tenant who is currently operating the par 3 golf course have agreed to a contingent termination of that lease because the Truitts have decided to pursue residential development of the property on leased ground, similar to Sea Colony and Bay Woods, along those lines, where you don't buy the land, it's actually a long-term lease. After performing their due diligence, Mr. Truitt decided that he felt that the best proposal they could enter into would be with Ocean Atlantic and Shell Brothers to basically do the development of the property and the marketing of the property. The proposed development will be an over 55 age-restricted community, as that is defined by federal regulation. The concept of the design and intention of this plan is for what is concept that's called aging in community. And what it means basically is that as many of the area residents grow older, the large homes that they've had become unnecessary. They don't need all the space. They don't need all the bedrooms. They don't need all the expense. Also, the house maintenance and the yard maintenance becomes somewhat of a burden. So basically, this development would permit many of the residents that already live in this area to downsize into a smaller, more conveniently designed home, which would have a first floor master bedroom, and then all maintenance of the grounds would be part of the condominium association. The developer retained Deborah Young. She has a company called Empowerability. That company's expertise is in home and amenity design for communities designed for senior citizens, particularly senior citizens that may have some mobility limitations or be dependent on wheelchair use. For example, some of the considerations that go into the homes here would be that at least one entrance to each home would have no steps. So it would be a ground level entrance that could be entered for wheelchair or at least without the need to use stairs, providing easy access. Beds and shower areas would be constructed with grab bars or they'd be designed for easy future installment of grab bars. Wheelchair accessibility considerations in the layout of the entire unit are taken into consideration, sometimes involving lower shelving or lower countertops or things of that nature. Central vacuum facilities are considered to avoid the need for someone to be lugging around a vacuum cleaner through the house. They can just connect to that in each room. And things like downspouts on the outside, which you wouldn't spend too much time thinking about, but they are actually buried to prevent any pooling of water, creating slippery places or ice in the winter to avoid, again, potential falls and things of that nature. That's just an example of those considerations. As Mr. Lank stated, there's an exhibit that was in the record going into more detail about the types of things. But the point I wanted to make is there's a very thorough consideration of the types of considerations that would go into this as an age-restricted community. The development will also have what we believe is age-appropriate amenities that would include a community clubhouse that would have an indoor aquatic therapy pool, several community little parks within the development. There'd be a community garden where people could share areas for growing vegetables or flowers. There would be sidewalks and walking paths within the development. There'd be a concierge type of service to arrange for transportation and outings and other services that the residents may want to have. And in addition, as I mentioned, due to this site's unique location, the residents will have easy access to the park and ride facility located directly across the street. and that would provide direct bus transportation to downtown Rehoboth, certainly, but also to any other location on the bus service route. I do want to note on the site plan, this area right here on that site plan is designated, that's a 1.6 acre area that's designated as reserved for future development. That area is now open space on this plan, but the intention is that, consistent with this aging in community concept, that in future years some of the residents of the community may no longer be able to maintain independent living and may need additional assistance. So there is some thought that an assisted living environment would be appropriate and perhaps desired in this area that would permit residents of the community as well as the area to have a facility in that same location, in that same neighborhood, that would be able to provide for their needs. Now, I do want to stress that that assisted living facility is not part of this application. If that is pursued, it will require an additional conditional use application that would require additional public hearings before the commission and the council. But I just wanted to note that that is a consideration. Part of the thought on that is, basically, we want to see how the development would go with the age-restricted concept, and if it did develop, that there was a need for that. And I'm sure, as all you know, the area, of course, there's a lot of residents in that area. There's the Kings Creek subdivision. There's a Rehoboth Country Club just down the road and many other developments in there. And I know there's a lot of people who would want to be in that environment where they could stay in that community where they've lived without being forced to move someplace else. So that's for future consideration, but I just wanted to note that. Now, as to the specific criteria of our application, the proposed development will have public water for domestic use and fire protection from Tidewater Utilities, Inc., public water company who supplies water in that area. The development is located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. The county engineer's office comments that Mr. Lank referred to indicate that wastewater capacity is available for the proposed development. That there would be a connection to a gravity sewer line that is available on Shuttle Road, and that the 90 units and the clubhouse are within the sewer planning assumptions for capacity for this site. The site design will be in conformity with the DENREC stormwater management regulations as reviewed by Soil Conservation. There was a wetland delineation that was performed by Environmental Resources, Inc. That study indicated that there are approximately 1.4 acres of Section 404 federal non-tidal wetlands located along the rear of the property, and that is the boundary with Kings Creek back along here. There will be provided a minimum 25-foot voluntary buffer from the wetlands to any unit, and except for two homes, that buffer is much greater than 25 feet, and the existing woods within the wetlands and within the buffer area will remain in place to serve as a natural buffer from Kings Creek. There are no state tidal wetlands on the site. The most recent DLDOT letter, which is dated October 7th, states that the proposed age-restricted development does not warrant a traffic impact study, nor a contribution to an area-wide study. The DLDOT prepared support facilities report actually indicates that the 90-unit age-restricted MR conditional use that we are requesting would actually generate less traffic per day and per peak hour than would be generated by the site if it was developed under the current AR1 as a subdivision. So although the units that we're requesting, 90 age-restricted units, are more than could be developed as an AR subdivision, because of the age restriction, that traffic impact is actually less than could be done now. Now, that may sound a little bit unbelievable, but if you think about it, the fact is older people don't drive as much as younger people, and there's no children to speak of in an age-restricted community. I mean, from my own experience, I know when my children were small, you know, we were doing 5 or 6 trips a day. Had nothing to do with me, but we were either picking them up or taking them somewhere. And that doesn't even get into teenagers, and that's a whole different subject. The comment in the exhibit book that you were given, there is a comment in there that is somewhat contrary to what I just said, because that comment does say that a traffic impact study is required. But that comment was based on the inclusion of the assisted living facility on the site, because that was the original design that was reviewed by DelDOT. And again, as I've already stated, the assisted living facility has been removed. It's not part of this application. And the October 7th DelDOT letter is actually the current letter. The site is located in the fire service area of the Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Department. Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Department has a station, of course, in Rehoboth, but also they have a substation just north of this site on Route 1. And the site is also in the Cape Henlopen School District, although since this is an age-restricted community, the only real impact on the school district will be the payment of school taxes by the owners. And then lastly, as I stated, this is a single-family 90-unit condominium development. So these are single-family condominiums. The care, the maintenance of the buffer areas, the stormwater management areas, lawns and landscaping, the common areas, roads, and building exteriors will all be under control and responsibility of the condo association. As to the legal support for the application, as is indicated in the plus comments, the site is located in the investment level 1 area according to the strategies for state policies and spending. As the plus letter states, investment level 1 reflects areas that are already developed in an urban or suburban fashion where infrastructure is existing or readily available and where future redevelopment or infill projects are expected and encouraged by state policy. So in the level 1, the state supports the development of a broad mix of housing options to meet the needs of the people of all abilities, all income levels, and all housing types. And again, certainly, I think you can see from the area map that this is an infill type of development, and the entire area surrounding our site is actually in the investment level 1 area. Under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the site, as well as all of the area surrounding the site, is in the environmentally sensitive developing area, which, as you know, is one of the designated growth areas of the plan. The plan specifically states that in the environmentally sensitive area, a range of housing types should be permitted, including single-family, townhouse, and multifamily-type units, and that central water and sewer facilities are strongly encouraged. Our MR zone conditional use development of 90 single-family condominium homes served by water and county sewer is in accordance with those provisions of the plan. In addition, our proposal is consistent with the existing zoning designations and uses in the area. As I kind of indicated when I was showing the location, the lands to the east, south, and west of our site are all zoned MR. To the north is the Kings Creek development, which is zoned AR1, but as I showed you, it is separated from our property by that area of federal wetlands, and we are providing a minimum 25-foot buffer from the wetlands on our site. Our site also borders the village of Kings Creek, which, as I said, is a small single-family condominium development. And also, our site is just across Shuttle Road from from the Keys at Marsh Harbor, which is a single-family duplex unit condominium development, again, which is just across Shuttle Road from the parking lot. With that, I'll turn our presentation over to Zach Crouch to review the site plan, and he will be followed by Roger Truitt, who would like to make some additional comments. Zach?
For the record, Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen and Friedel. Good evening, commissioners. I want to kind of go over the site plan based on what Mr. Fuqua just went over. The site itself. It's located on 23.51 acres. The roads themselves will be constructed and per the Sussex County road requirements. DelDOT's entrance would be designed per DelDOT's entrance. Sewer and water, we will have a pump station on site, and as Mr. Lank has expressed, there is capacity for the site itself based on the 90 units in the clubhouse. The pump station is located in this area. Which will have a force main, which will go out to Shuttle Road and tie into an existing gravity main. Central water will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. There's an existing 12-inch main that actually exists on Shuttle Road, which we'll be making our connection. Active open space, there's over a half acre, which is really the areas that we have is meditation areas with benches, and you also had the clubhouse and pool with some raised gardens for the residents of the community. There's sidewalks on both sides of the street, as well as there'll be street light provided. There's an existing parking lot that exists now, which is located at the entrance, that we're going to maintain for overflow parking. As per the county requirements, of course, streets you're not supposed to park on, but as we know, some people do, but at least we're going to maintain that parking and use it throughout the community. There's a 20-foot buffer, which is along the west side of the property, east side of the property, and of course the south side of the property. There's an existing buffer that we're going to maintain, but where there's not a buffer, there's going to be trees planted per the county's requirements, which is around 15 trees per every 100 feet per the 20-foot width. In areas where there's not adequate buffering, of course, trees will be provided. As Mr. Fuqua expressed, the intent is to keep all the existing trees for the natural buffers. There is a 25-foot voluntary buffer from the wetlands that have been delineated. As you can tell, there's more than 25 feet, probably with 80% of the lots that front the branch. All the trees will remain, and there's a small portion of the site which falls within a 100-year flood. None of the houses, the 100-year flood elevation is at an elevation 5, and all the houses are at least 12 to 15 feet in elevation. So, in which, there again, that area itself will not be disturbed. Stormwater management, there's an existing pond. It's out there. It's actually used for the golf course now. That's going to be brought up to SED Pond Code 378 standards, which benches, but the intent there is to utilize the existing stormwater management pond, and there would be another one that would be centrally located. And there again, it's going to be a mixed use of a wet pond and man-made wetlands to meet the new stormwater management requirements. As part of the stormwater management requirements, we also have to meet the project itself falls within Inland Bay's pollution control strategy, so we do have to reduce nitrogen and phosphorus by 40%. The northeast corner of the property and some of the exhibits that you have. It's in some of the, I think, the maps we have. The right hand, the northeast corner of the site falls within the wellhead protection area of one of the Rehoboth wells. This area is not being disturbed except for the, there's a couple units in that area and the road extension. It will meet the county's requirements for wellhead protection areas. And as far as DART, when we met with DLDOT, there will be a connection from the development itself to encourage pedestrians to use the DART facility. And again, that'll be considered when we do the design and submission to DLDOT. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Roger Truitt, and I know your time is very valuable, and my colleagues here have encouraged me to be brief, so I will abide by that. First of all, I was born and raised in Sussex County, and I graduated from Rehoboth High School, so you can kind of age date me, I suppose. After receiving a degree in civil engineering from the University of Delaware, I actually worked for Sussex County for 4 years before going over across the bay to further my education. Recently, my wife, who's with me tonight, and I settled back in Sussex County, and we live in one of the communities that was mentioned here that adjoins the property that is the subject of this public hearing. I'm here tonight on behalf of the Truitt family. Which, as Mr. Fuquay accurately stated, has owned this 23.5-acre parcel for more than a century. My brother and I are third generation of Truitts to be stewards for this land. And in keeping with my late father's wishes, we have entered into a long-term lease with Shell so that our sons and grandsons can continue to own the property and preserve the Truitt name and legacy. That's why the development will be known as the farm at Truitt Homestead, and why the street names will be named in honor of my grandparents, who came from Fenwick Island in 1908 to start farming just outside of Rehoboth, back before there was a bridge over the inlet, so it was quite a trip in those days. Actually, I brought a little photo we have that we made into a plaque that my wife actually did this with Photoshop, but you can see the original farm sitting back here before it was turned into the golf operation. And these folks out here are my grandparents and my father when he was probably about 6 years old. So if you want to look at it, be happy to pass it around. You might have to ask my wife about that.
we will admire it from a distance.
Well, I could certainly get you a copy of it if you so desire. For years, I've watched as all the properties surrounding our farm were developed with similar or higher densities of homes than what we are proposing. The golf operation on our property has become unprofitable for our current tenants, and the time has come for my generation to take steps to preserve the property in the Truitt name for the next 100 years. To accomplish that, we began 2 years ago to search for a reputable developer and builder, who would construct high-quality community on leased land with attractive and durable homes and amenities. And as you might appreciate, it's not easy to find somebody who's willing to come in and build something on leased land that we're going to continue to own. It was important to us to have high-quality and durable structures because the Truitts will still be there as the landlord after the builder sells his last home. And after considerable due diligence, we concluded that Ocean Atlantic and Shell Brothers presented the best fit to accomplish our goals. We've been partnering with them for the past year to come up with a first-class aging-in-place community that is so needed in this in the Rehoboth area. In fact, I plan to reserve a home site in Truitt Homestead to live out my senior years, where I hope my less senior wife will join me. Since I now reside in the immediate area of the Truitt farm, I wanted to be completely open and transparent with my neighbors and take their concerns into account as we move forward with redevelopment. I concluded early on that the neighbors would not want to see commercial use here or townhomes on our property, so we have opted for a single-family residential development. In July, I personally reached out and met with the leadership of each of the four homeowners associations that adjoin the 23.5-acre farm to explain our redevelopment plan and answer any questions they might have. I must say the meetings went very well. I showed them the site plan that's indicated over here with its landscape buffers adjacent to their communities and left my contact information. An email notice recently went out to all my neighbors in Kings Creek explaining our plan for the property. I want to thank you for your time tonight, your attention, and your consideration of my family's plans for the Truitt property. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Truitt. I believe I heard you mention that you're a professional engineer. Is that right?
Well, that's a little on hold. I held a certification in that, yes.
Well, you know the county has an opening right now. Since you have prior experience, it might give you a leg up.
Is that an age-restricted position?
Mr. Chairman, I do have some proposed findings for the MR application and some proposed findings and conditions for the conditional use application, which I'll hand to Mr. Lang.
Thanks, sir.
In conclusion, I think we've explained and shown that the proposed development is consistent with the state strategies plan and with the Sussex County comp plan, and it's also consistent with the existing MR zoning in the area and many of the existing uses in the area. As we've stated, this will be an age-restricted community, which provides a needed type of residential use in this area that also has much less impact than a standard type residential development. And with that will conclude our presentation, of course, subject to any questions you may have.
All right, sir. We appreciate that, and we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I commend you all on your concept of aging in place. I think it's something that's sorely needed in this county, and hopefully it would work. My questions relating to that, though, are... Yeah, we're talking concept as to how you envision this being developed. But is that a commitment to do it that way, that, or are you just saying this is what you'd like to do? In other words, is this something that we can put in the condition that you're going to do? Or?
When you review the condition, the proposed conditions that I submitted, that is one of the conditions.
Okay, good. Obviously, I haven't had a chance to speak.
Sorry, just handed them out. Yes, that is a restriction that it would be an over 55 age restricted community.
Okay. And would it be disclosed to potential buyers that there might be this consideration of developing this 1.6 acre section into perhaps a assisted living?
Yeah, of course it would. And in fact, I think the developer is viewing that as an asset that if people were told they actually potentially could stay right on the site in the future if they needed assisted living.
And if it wasn't to be developed as assisted living, what possibly might it be developed?
There's no other plans other than that. That was the concept that was developed. If you're asking hypothetically, could the developer come in the future for additional units? I certainly couldn't say they couldn't, but obviously any use of that property would require additional hearings before the county.
And I know we talked about some of the surrounding developments. Can you share with the commission what some of those densities are?
Yes. Kinsale, which is the development I suppose to erase all my lines, I have one. Kinsale's right back here, which is a single-family subdivision. Kinsale is 1.69 units to the acre. Stable Farm, which is located adjacent to us right here, is 3.14 units to the acre. The Village of Kings Creek, which is right here, and this is a small community, it's only 8 homes on 1.87 acres, but that density is 4.28 units to the acre. And the Keys at Marsh Harbor, right over here, which is a combination of single-family condos like we're proposing, as well as duplex condos, that has a density of 5.26 units to the acre. What we're proposing comes out to 3.8 units to the acre, which again is within the permitted density of MR zoning and within the sewer, the County Engineering Sewer Department assumptions for use.
So if we throw into that mix the assisted living facility and the number of units that might contain, what would that bring the potential number of housing units per acre?
Well, that would I don't think you'd count them strictly as units, although I would state that we're not asking for that, so I'm not really ready to answer that question. Okay. Obviously, it'd be a question for the future if I'm in here presenting that at some other time. Obviously, there'd be more people living there. I don't know how you calculate a facility like that in terms of the sewer
EDUs.
It's not calculated the same as a house. It's calculated more as a commercial type facility.
As an apartment, right?
Well, not even as an apartment. I think it's more like a hospital or something of that nature. And obviously that would have, I'm not sure what the traffic impact of that is either, because obviously the folks there aren't really causing any traffic, although they certainly have visitors coming to see them. But again, I understand your question, but we're not proposing that now, so I'm not sure what that answer would be.
Well, it just concerns me whenever I see a project, no matter how much I might like the concept, when there's areas that are left on there as to, to be developed.
And I don't disagree with you, because that does create an uncertainty about what that is, and that's why we, as Mr. Truitt stated, we're trying to be transparent about this. And we are considering that. We wanted to note that on there and inform you of it, but we are not asking for that yet, so that's really for another day.
The one, and looking at the various exhibits that were provided to us, one area of my concern is what the actual setbacks are going to be. For example, in Section J, it says front yard, side yard, rear yard, all 30 feet. Well, you know that's not going to be 30 feet. And then other areas I see 40 feet front yard and 10 feet side yard. And I believe there was another one that said it's front yards 40, 10, 10. On the blow up that we got, this one. This is the big sheet. Now, it doesn't show me 40 feet in the front, so I'm, I I am at a loss as to what the front, rear, and side yard setbacks you're proposing, because they're different.
And I'll ask Zach Crouch to respond to that.
Based on the site plan, as Mr. Fuqua said, these are condos. So the setbacks that are on that plan are 40, 10, 10, are the whole parcel itself. The separation distance between the units themselves are noted in its exhibit in its blow up here, which are, the units are 10 foot apart.
Right on this one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I saw that, but I'm just saying that I and throughout the exhibits, like I said, in Exhibit J, it's 30, shown the 30 foot side, or says 30 foot side yard.
Right, but the revised one, which we included in the following one, which is K, it's 40, 10, and 10.
40, 10, 10.
Yes.
Okay. So 40 foot front yard, 10 foot set. Side.
But that's on the overall parcel. That's on this parcel here. It's just one parcel.
Why don't you explain the interior, what the setbacks are?
That would help.
What, are you trying to blow it up?
I was trying to erase it.
Erase it?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Please note for the record that I'm showing Zach how to do this.
Well, I must admit that is noteworthy.
Well, here I just thought it was your tie reflecting off his skin.
What Mr. Crouch is saying is, since this is one parcel, then you have setbacks for the perimeter of the parcel. So the front would be 40, as required by code for residential use. And the side rear of 10, and it did have a 25-foot setback.
Yes, and the units themselves are 15 feet from the right-of-way.
From the driveway inside the driveway?
From the right-of-way of the road.
Of the internal drive?
Internal, yes, internal.
Okay. There's going to have to be some discussion about the separation between the units.
And the minimum separation is 10 feet based on what type of unit they build. But at least a minimum of 10 feet.
But you're saying there's going to be a 40 foot setback?
No, that's, you got to look at it. The whole thing is one lot. And there's a 40 foot setback. The whole thing, because there's not individual lots within the project. There's a tree lot.
So where's the 40 feet from?
The outside perimeter.
From this road here.
Just from right there. Just from the road.
And you see the setback, which is shown on.
So not here. So what would be the setback from the buildings from the edge of the road?
From the edge of the road?
Inside the vault.
It's 15 foot minimum, like it shows on the
road.
Yeah, from the road.
From the road,
it's 30 feet.
Okay. Okay.
From the right of way line, it's 15 feet.
Right. Okay, I see that. That's like I'm saying. I was seeing these different numbers floating around.
So the road, the safety strip, the sidewalk are all within the right of way. From the right of way, you're setting back. How far did you say?
15 feet. Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, that's. My question, can you get one car off the road, completely off the road?
Yes.
In front of the garage?
A parking spot is typically 9 by 18 or 10 by 20.
Right.
So even with...
But in, I
Without extending it to the sidewalk, yes.
Yeah, I want it out on the sidewalk.
Yes.
Okay. And are you coming back later to ask them about the sidewalk thing?
Sidewalks are part of the plan.
Let the record show.
Is that a good answer?
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's a priority. You did a good job. You got to my point exactly. Well, Mr. Chairman, at this point, all my questions have been answered. I will take an opportunity to review the proposed findings and hear other testimony. I may have some questions to follow.
Yes, we'll refer back to you before we're done.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Johnson's done his usual job of great interview, and he's answered most of my questions. I would like to, if I could, ask, I believe you mentioned that a member of your party here tonight is the lady that had some input on the...
Yes, Deborah Young.
Yes. And I would just like to ask her if she agrees and concurs with what you've represented on the record as the age-restricted assets of the...
Deborah, if you can just identify yourself and the company.
Hi, I'm Deborah Young, and my company's Empowerability LLC. I live in Newark, Delaware. And yes, I do agree with what's been presented this evening.
Do you have anything further you would like to add, or do you believe that we hit on all the salient points?
I would only state I only briefly told you some of the concepts. It's
right.
Much more thorough and much more detailed, some of the suggestions that that Deborah's made that will be incorporated into the design. But I just wanted to give you a flavor of some of those considerations.
Well, just to support the aging in place and aging in community is being supported. That was the main role for why I was being retained. I'm an occupational therapist by background. I've been an occupational therapist for 20 years, and I specialize. I have certified specialist in environmental modifications, assistive technology, and aging in place. And so I can support what has been said and represented for this project this evening.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Deborah.
And just one last thing, if I might, just to clarify and get on the record, if I can ask Mr. Robertson, because as a part of the preamble before the public hearings, you treat us to what we are and are not to consider insofar as fair housing, bias, things like that. We're not in any type of jeopardy by that condition J, where it mentions it's an age restricted. That's
no, because that is, as Mr. Kukwait mentioned, that's a federally approved and permitted process. There are specific guidelines on that.
Right.
So yeah, that will be.
That was my opinion. I just wanted to make sure and clarify that it was something that we could take into consideration. Thank you, Mr. Ross. Thank you, Mr. Kukwait, and members of your team.
Thank you.
All right, sir, Mr. Ross.
Mr. Pickway, when you answered Mr. Johnson's questions about densities, I think you, did you mention the densities for King Creek, the Collector Club?
No, I didn't. It's an AR subdivision, so it's obviously less than two, although it does also contain the golf course and country club itself.
It's less than two units. And then can you recall when these subdivisions, these adjoining subdivisions were approved or
I can give you approximately. I think the Keys at Marsh Harbor, I think, was about 2002. I think the Village at Old Landing was maybe 2005. Stable Farm and Kinsale are more recent, but they were probably the mid 2007, 2008, maybe in that range, I think, about then. 2003.
Yeah, Kinsale was a little earlier than that.
Okay.
But yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
In the your density calculations, you've got passive open space of 13 acres. I guess that's where your future group assisted living is. That what you're talking about?
Well, the assisted living area is 1.6 acres, I believe. So again, I'll defer to sack as far as the calculations.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was trying to figure.
Yeah, the
as far as the open space, obviously we're preserving the wetlands in that buffer area, but there's the parks that have been indicated, the clubhouse and the aquatic therapy pool, the areas around the stormwater pond and the open space now, the 1.6 acres itself, there is nothing there now, it'll just be open space, all right? In the future, that would be the location of the assisted living if that was approved and if that is even applied for. The concept here, unlike a regular subdivision, would be there wasn't a need for more active type of recreational facilities other than walking trails and things of that nature.
The parking, do the condos, are they going to have a garage plus their driveways? There's two spots there. Is that right?
Yeah, there'd be the garage, and then there'd be the area in the parking, in the driveway, the park outside of the garage. And then as Zach stated, the current parking lot that's been there for the driving range and par 3 golf course, that's there now. That will remain as additional parking for visitors or overflow parking.
So this morning, the sidewalks are curbing the gutter, is that correct?
Yes.
And so you'll have a closed drain system?
Yes.
Okay. And the areas in the back where you're going to have to elevate the houses for the floodplain, any freeboard in that?
Yeah, there's none of the houses will have to be elevated. I mean, the,
some are going to be 15 or...
Well, that's what the existing grade is. You know, Joe, I'm just letting you know that 100-year flood elevation is at elevation 5, which is basically the center line of the branch. So as we come up to the lots themselves, I mean, we're up at an elevation between 12 and 15. So there's, yes, we're not even going to be filling. We don't have to fill from 5 to 12, no.
I guess the reason for the MR zoning request, I mean, you could technically get this density in the AR with the personal density program, but I guess the rationale for getting the MR zoning over the AR?
Well, I mean, the rationale is that under the comprehensive plan and the nature of the area, that, as I said, this is infill zoning. This area is predominantly MR zoning. In fact, as you go further east, it's all commercial zoning. So this is a natural transition from the commercial activity on Route 1 to some higher density, such as the Keys at Marsh Harbor, our site, to the more traditional AR zoning subdivisions. The I could only say that we're doing it because it's permitted to be done. In fact, it's what the plan says, and I know we've had this discussion before that there could be changes made to the ordinance that would address bonus density or fee for density, things of that nature. But
wouldn't another reason be that condos, form of ownership is not allowed now?
No, it actually is allowed. It's allowed.
The multifamily, they are. I don't think it distinguishes between single family.
Well, I think there's a... Sometimes we confuse things because condominium is really a form of ownership. It's just a form of ownership, whereas some people think of condo as being a high-rise building or a townhouse building or something like that. But it's just a form of ownership. The there's nothing that would prohibit it. I think, quite honestly, if in the AR, of course, you have to have larger lots, okay, from a lot size. So sometimes it's done single family in order to be able to have additional units. I'll give you an example. The villages at Kings Creek, there's 8 units there. You couldn't have 8 lots there. All right, now that's zoned MR, but that was done as a condo in order to accommodate that, which is appropriate density for that site and for that area. So, I mean, every case is unique and has to be decided on its own merits, but sometimes it's done that way. I can't say off the top of my head I'm aware of any condominium projects in AR area, so I don't disagree with your statement, but I think it can be done.
I'll look it up. Just the last time I looked at it, the MR zoning specifically allows for condominium ownership, and AR doesn't specify. So.
Well, it might be, I don't know whether you mean condominium or multifamily.
Multifamily and AR is allowed.
Yeah, but it doesn't distinguish between ownership.
It's ownership.
Yeah.
So it's just not specifically mentioned in AR. It might not be code. I'm not saying it couldn't be done. I think it's a worthy project. I'd like to hear the public comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so we thank you. Great.
Right. No questions. Thank you.
No questions at this point. No, so Mr. Crouch is done. Shows that picture with the renderings of the houses. So,
well, please do.
Yeah, I know there's been questions about parking, whether there's garages. And things.
Gotcha. Nice. So you have one or two questions that are.
Oh, you put it on the easel.
Yeah, please show it to our folks. And just a few ways you can direct this question over if you think an answer. It really more to do with just, I think it's an interesting and intriguing concept on the leased land with essentially a condominium regime. Who is the tenant? Is it the homeowners association going to hold the lease, or individual condo owners, or how are we doing this? If it's one piece of land, there's got to be one tenant, I would think.
Yeah, you get a. There would be a. And I'll just kind of reflect on what Sea Colony did, because that's kind of the main example. There was a master lease to the entity that was building. In this case, it would be. Mr. Shell would own.
Right.
So they'd have a lease to it.
Right.
And then that lease would be assigned or sublet. You know, in this case, there's 90 units, so 1/90th of the lease would be assigned to an individual unit purchaser. The person would own their unit. It would be subject to that percentage interest in the lease. So if the tenant, the original tenant, is paying X dollars, then it would be sublet, so there'd be a different figure that individual would be tenant would be paying, but it'd probably be the same.
What's the term of the lease?
It's going to be at least 99 years, I believe, isn't it?
103 years?
105.
105 years.
Okay, so the condominium owner gets a 1/90th interest in a master lease.
Correct. 1/90th interest in that lease.
Undivided one, similar to the way that they own an entity.
And is responsible for a 1/90th portion of the rent.
Done in a similar fashion to what their interest is in common elements is they can't sell it, they can't separate it.
Would be the same. Right.
But they can I guess they would be able to transfer their 1/90th interest in the lease to the next buyer.
Right, the leasehold can't be separated from the unit. So they have
right.
to stay together,
but
certainly yes, they have the right. It's assignable. Yeah, it's assignable.
Assignable to the next owner. Okay, that's interesting. But that's all I have. Okay, thank you.
I have a question.
Sure. Yeah.
Is the footprint withdrawal rectangles the maximum building area for each of those units?
Yes.
Would it include any decks, porches that may be desired to be added onto by the leaseholders? Are you going to allow for additions to be added to? I've had that problem with a lot of condos. Operation plans are somewhat altered because they allow for additions in some cases.
In this little exhibit, the depth of them are between 55 and 70. The 70 is the max based off of, you know, any type of add-on. But as far as...
That includes any improvements related to that unit?
Yes.
Porches, decks, front porch, back porch?
After, yes. Now, if there's a deck that extends beyond that, that's not part of the house, that's in addition to that, and there could be a bigger deck, I guess if you want to say, but this whole, you know, that's a come we have from 55 to 70 because we included all the options on it.
So the patio is not an issue because patio whether it's wood or concrete or whatever, it can be a 6 inches by grade. But when it's elevated, then it can issue a permit requirements, specifically relating, and if you're adding additional, what happens is they build a deck, then they build a porch on the deck, then they close it in for a sunroom. Next thing you know, you're going to build another deck. And they keep getting bigger and bigger, you keep getting bigger. So we have issues with that on several projects. The size of those units, so your that unit is how large? Basically, that square, correct?
Yeah, 36. The maximum for that is 36 by 70.
So
that's with all the options. If they don't
be inclusive within that 36 by 70.
If they want a smaller unit, of course, you know, that would change. It could be 36 by 55 without the option.
Good. Thank you. All right, well, let's see if anyone is here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1785, Truett Homestead LLC, and or conditional use number 2029, Truett Homestead LLC? So anyone like to speak in opposition to change of zone 1785 or conditional use number 2029? Okay, if you would come first, please come up and give us your name. You may have the floor.
Could I use your first slide? Let me see. The one that really showed a big area showed all of Gateway, Rehoboth Gateway. Yeah, perfect. That's good.
Let me erase some
of this stuff. To not keep you, my name is Dr. Raymond Bryant. For the record, I live at 11 Annis Lane in Kinsale Glen. So basically, you'd be looking at my house. I have to do with that. To the left. We bought our home here 3 years ago. I retired here full-time a year ago. I was a superintendent of schools in New York, and I actually moved here from a 55 and older, I think 55 and better is the sign on Route 1 says community. And I'm not going to be so, I guess, presumptuous, since we bought in an area that's populated with houses, to make comments on the development per se, other than to say that aging in place is a great concept, and I certainly support that concept. My bigger concern is with traffic. And if I can work this right, if you look at, thank you. This intersection right here is huge. It is Shuttle Road. All of the houses that you see back here, all of these developments all funnel onto one road. This is a dead-end community. It all funnels, for the most part, onto Shuttle Road, or if you want to go south, Country Club with an exit here. There is a road coming here from Tanger Outlet that will cross and make a new road here. The only entrance onto, from Route 1, there is an entrance into Gateway, but there is no exit from Gateway onto Route 1. To exit, you're going to have to come either over here or over here, which means you've got two lanes of traffic coming in, three lanes coming out. In the summer, it can be four light cycles to get out of here. I'd be concerned with 55 and older crossing here without some kind of major adaptation. Trying to get to the park and ride, already as people walk to park and ride, it can be really dangerous. Riding a bike through there is really dangerous. The study, we've been told that the site plan for Gateway Rehoboth was done in 2012 and done in March of 2012. I love March. It's a great time to drive the roads. But June, July, and August are another story. I would strongly urge that, while DelDOT said they didn't think they needed one, I would strongly urge you to get a traffic study to really get a sense of how is this bottleneck going to work. Because you've got people coming. If, let's say, I want to leave one morning and I want to go to the mall, well, or to the new shopping center, I guess I can come out and I can enter this way. But if I want to go north, I'm coming out here in three lanes of traffic, as two lanes are coming in, there's no stop sign right now. I don't know if it'll be a four-way stop or what it'll be. People will have to cross three lanes of traffic to get here. If you're coming out and want to go north, you're going to have to cross three lanes of traffic to get in a left-hand turning lane to go north. Adding, and believe me, 55 and older don't travel? Are you kidding me? We are the economic engine when we live here full-time from September until June. We do go, and we do buy, and we do eat out, and we do shop. So it's going to add traffic. Thinking that it isn't going to add traffic, it's going to add traffic. If an assisted living center is built, that's great. But that overflow parking is going to get used by the day and night staff. As well as if you have people in assisted living wanting to get to the shuttle, which they will probably do, or having their own bus, I mean, that's going to exacerbate this whole area. So the only other exit for us in an emergency is to cut through our neighbors at Rehoboth, Yacht and Country Club. We can drive through their neighborhood and come out down here just short of the bridge. But that's the only other way out for anybody who lives back up here where Shuttle Road becomes Rehoboth Beach and Country Club. Now, we were told at a meeting recently with some legislators that transportation typically works backwards, meaning that we do the plan or we set this building up, and then there's a problem, we come back and address it. I'd love to think that we weren't playing cleanup, that we could address something like this in the first place and figure out how do we analyze that traffic and figure out what's best. Because, you know, it'll be great that Gateway is there and people can walk to a grocery store, walk to a bank, walk to the Wawa, walk to the restaurants, but not through a heavily used area and heavily used road. And again, 55 and older, increased ambulance calls, saw it in my community. If you're here in the summer, God forbid somebody has a heart attack in July or August, and you're trying to get through that light in an emergency, because people can't pull off. There's no place. If there's three lanes of traffic, there's no place for people to pull off. And you can't pull out onto Route 1 because that's full. I think those are things that have got to get taken, have got to be examined as we look at the traffic in that area. We're, you know, Kinsale Glen's building out, we've got five lots. Kings Creek's building out, they've got lots. Rehoboth Beach and Country Club's building out, they've got lots. It's all going to add more traffic. What's going to happen with the traffic is, to me, got to be the question. Because this bottleneck is not just going to be a bottleneck, it's going to be dangerous. You've all seen the drivers we get in the summer. And is there in a hurry to go someplace? The thought of crossing two or three lanes in front of you or whatever is not out of their mind. It's certainly what happens. And trying to get through this intersection right here to get into this development is just going to exacerbate that. So my concern and my comment was, please think about a road study in terms of what would be helpful. If this is built, what would be helpful in terms of this whole road and passage to make it safe for everybody in that area? Because when this comes online, it's going to make that three or four lights in the summer many more than that. So I thank you very much.
Next. Yes,
hello, everybody. My name is Debbie Donovan. I, too, like Ray, am a former New Yorker who has settled here with my husband to retire. I, too, live in Kinsale Glen and echo every sentiment that Ray has just discussed with you. Quite honestly, I was beyond stunned to hear that a week ago, DelDOT turned down a traffic study necessity for this. The Gateway study was done, as Ray indicated, in 2012. Since I've been here, which is 2013, the traffic has increased immeasurably at this particular juncture coming into RBYCC, Rehoboth Avenue. Now with the new Gateway, it is just traffic overflow. The egress from the Gateway going northbound is only through the area between County Bank and the Holiday Inn. People coming from this new development, as well as all of us, in order to get through that area, if we want to make a right to go to Dewey, is going to have to be crossing through traffic. And on top of that, when you're speaking about having senior citizens potentially using a park and ride, I use that myself to go down to the beach. And I literally have to, in the summertime, time it to be able to run between the cars. And to suggest that a senior could get through that, it just doesn't really work. And I myself am a senior and pretty spry. The other thing is, just this morning at approximately 11 o'clock, right outside of the Villages, there was a gutter truck and a little silver car who had a very unfortunate collision literally 2 minutes before I got there. There's no traffic there now. And when you have the impacts of not one additional community, with this community addition, there will be 10 communities, including RBYCC, Kings Creek, Kinsale Glen, Seasons, Bay, Bay Huron, is it? I'm sorry, I had this memorized. Huron Bay, Kings Creek, Villages of Kings Creek, Silverview Farms, and the Keys of March Harbor, Sable Farms. So there's 10 communities that are impacted by this. And just if you look, take everything out, look at all of the intersections that are at this moment are not covered by any traffic device whatsoever, stop sign, traffic light, anything. And the impact of that would be like a road race in the summertime. So I really strongly urge you to insist that a new traffic study be done after the impact of what is going to happen at the gateway would be preferable. But timing-wise, if that doesn't work, current traffic study to be done with the new configuration in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Hello. My name is Theo Braver, and I'm one of the 8 homeowners at the Village at Kings Creek. And I'm surprised by the density of the project. And I was unclear about a couple of things. Is it okay if I ask a couple questions? Kinsale Glen, which was developed, 12 years ago, was the back nine of the golf course. How many homes were built at Kinsale? Does anybody know?
117, or right now 115. Two are currently being built.
Okay.
Thanks.
You know, the fact that 90 homes are being built with this new proposed community and making the assumption that, first of all, it looks a lot denser than everything around it. I don't really understand the density numbers, 1.69, 4.2. If we're saying that this new project is 3.28 units per acre, that includes all that open space, but the open space presumably might not be there if they get to develop the retirement center in the middle. And then if the retirement center in the middle gets built, I mean, what might they propose, a 5-story building? I don't know what the limitations are. Are there limitations in that area?
Well, there definitely are limitations. There are height limitations. There are density limitations. The assisted living facility really isn't a subject of this hearing, though, so we really can't speculate on what's going to be. The developer is simply pointing out that he might do this sometime in the future. Sometime in the future, we'll have another hearing, and that's when we'll address the assisted living.
And the density numbers are assuming that the density numbers today are assuming that big green space remains there, but presumably it wouldn't remain there. Yeah, I mean, the Kinsale Glen was developed on the back nine with the presumption that the front nine would remain and be open space. Correct? Was that granted with the stipulation that the front nine would remain?
No, that was not
okay.
The stipulation.
So it's always intended that the farmland would be changed into what they call medium density housing?
Well, we really can't speculate as to what their intentions were 12 years ago.
The Kinto Glen had a perimeter boundary that was established with their application, and it was did not include the front nine.
Okay. The perimeter boundary, I understand it was 25 feet of voluntary around King's Village, not the King's Creek Country Club, around the wetlands. What was the boundary going to be against Village at King's Creek, against those eight homes?
It was going to be 20 feet, which the code mandated buffer, and their specifications on the kind of vegetation that needs to go in there as well, the number of trees per foot, and the types of vegetation.
So it would be more trees than there are currently today?
Yes, because in certain places there are trees, but where there's not trees, it would be like from that one site plan, that's absolutely right. There would be trees that would be planted.
And there would, and afterwards it would be at least 20 feet deep from that white vinyl fence, too.
Well, I can't say from the fence. It would be from the property line. It depends on where
That's where the fence is at the property line, I think. And then just lastly, there was on that little close-up, there was a, I've noticed when I've played that golf course, it's a very cute little course to play. There's some gravestones for some animals, presumably that belong to the Druids. And I noticed that it says expanded pet cemetery. So is the intention to expand the pet cemetery greater than it is now? And then there's no greenery, no boundary there between the proposed community and the Village at King's Creek where that pet cemetery is.
Yes, there are family pets buried there. I think there's four dogs, and there are still dogs within the family, within my brother's family, within my son's family. And so we wanted to reserve some additional space so that there'd be place for the pets when they pass away.
But it would be for personal use?
Personal use only, yes.
So is there a 20-foot boundary between the pet cemetery and my property line? It doesn't look to me like there is, and particularly if it's extended, I don't think there's a 20-foot boundary between the pet cemetery and my property line. And if there were 20 feet of trees, then the pet cemetery couldn't possibly even be there. But I would be obviously against that. My last comment is that, I mean, I just met with some clients last night that are moving to Rehoboth from Colorado because they can get their children and their grandchildren to visit more often if they live in a nice resort town like Rehoboth Beach. So to presume that 90 homes with seniors won't be adding to the congestion, I think they would be adding more so than if you had, a 40-year-old, 50-year-old, not that I'm 40 or 50, working woman living there. I mean, they're going to have multiple children and grandchildren visiting, certainly as evidenced by the entertainment, the pool complex, et cetera, et cetera. So those are my only comments. I'm not particularly excited about it. It seems to be very dense. And I would just want to make sure that there's that boundary between their boundary, and ours. So, thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Mr. Johnson, any other further questions?
All my questions have been addressed, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, anyone else? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
That concludes our public hearing. Moving on to other business, our first item of other business is the estuary phases 1B, 1D, 1B through 1D. That was 2005-66.